y'all, welcome to Eagles Way Church. Today we've got Sacrament of Healing. That's happening right in the middle of the music. And one of my favorite people in the world is talking, Joey Grubbs. Always positive. It's good to have y'all.
Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness. calm my raging seas. You walk with me through fire. You heal all my disease. I trust. I trust in you. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. And I believe you're
Second Sunday of each month, we set aside, not that there isn't healing and we don't pray for people every day of the month, but the second Sunday of the month, we set aside a sacrament of healing, a time where if whatever's going on in your world, emotionally, physically, spiritually, that you need a touch from God, we just sang, I believe and I trust. And so there's things that we have to do to enact. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if you don't, I'm still going to believe. I'm still going to trust. I'm still going to act. Being consistent. Psalms 103:3 says, He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. 147:3 says he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Proverbs says, then you will have healing for your body, strength for your bones. For they bring life to those who find them and healing for their whole body. So whatever is going on with you, we are going to open up this altar right here, this area right down front, where you can come and you are acting, you are stepping out in your faith, you are engaging that God has put inside of you and say, I need that healing. I need that brokenhearted gone. And that may just begin the beginning of the process of that healing. It doesn't happen overnight. You go to the doctor, sometimes he says, take this and take this, and over a period of time the healing comes, but we still look to the Father as our healer, even though he helped that doctor to learn the information and share that medicine. So if that's you, step out from where you're at and walk right down front. Let us pray for you. Let us join with you and link arms with you for that complete healing.
part of my healing was having myself reaffirm that it's possible that it's going to happen. And there's this really great part in the middle of this song where it all kind of comes down, and there's just kind of an instrumental moment. Shane plays, it's beautiful. And in those moments is when I digest the pain that's been in my life. And that's where a lot of my healing has come from. And the song's really great in the way that it talks directly to you. It says that you are strong and you are sure that your life, you endure. And I think that's a great mantra. If we were to say it to ourselves all the time, how much stronger would we be? Because a lot of times the world doesn't want to say that to you. But the people in this room do, and I do.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart. Speak what is true, 'cause I am found, I am yours, I am loved, I'm made pure, and I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
Go Dawgs, that's right. Football season starts in 48 days from today. So I want to let you know that. What I do besides what I do here at church is I have a little side business called Mojo Training and Coaching. And what I do in that is I do life coaching. This is just a commercial now, okay? I do it here at the church. If you're looking for some things in your life, if you're looking for change, if you're looking for another perspective, if you're looking for somebody just to help you see things differently, I don't have all the answers, but I know who does, and I'll work with you on that. So if you do, just come see me. If you want to get healthy, Ron's already said it, I do a class Monday through Thursday at First Methodist Church Gym, and I'd love to have you join us there. So that's my Mojo commercial. All right, last thing is this. I want to just take this opportunity to thank you as Eagles Way for allowing me to be the youth pastor at this church. I'm telling you, we have got a great group of kids that they always surprise me, and I mean that in the way of these kids have got a heart for God, they've got a heart for people, and they're just amazing kids. On Wednesday nights, I have anywhere from sometimes we only have three or four, and like this past Wednesday night, we had 17. It's kind of in between, runs the whole gamut. But we'll be leaving for camp, and I want you to pray for us because 2 weeks from today, we'll be headed out to camp. Ron's going with us, a couple others here. I've got 20 people total that are going with us, and I'm excited about it. The theme for the camp is Do the Right Thing, and I've got some speakers lined up, and I'm excited for everything. Now, with all that said, I got to make an appeal for you here, and this is well before the offering, okay? And what I want to say in the beginning is what I'm going to ask you for, it cannot come before your tithe. The church needs our tithe to operate, okay? But I do need some help if somebody can help us. Now, we've had a number of people, and I thank you so much, who have actually paid for students to go to camp, which is great. The cost for camp is it's $175 in the bulletin, but we did a fundraiser, and it's $150. But here's the deal. When I was in touch with camp last week and lining everything up, getting my itinerary right, they do a lot of stuff a la carte. Their best activities cost extra. Now, we're going to do a couple of really good activities no matter what. And I'll say that. I'm going to pay for it if I have to. But I need to raise $400 before camp in 2 weeks to pay for those two activities. If you can pay for any of that, if you'll just put it on the note on the check, or if you'll put it, if you donate on the website, just put for youth activities, and it'll go in the right spot, and we'll get that done. But I'm telling you, we're going to do it one way or another, okay? But if you can, I'd appreciate it. All right. This morning, what I wanted to talk to you about is a principle of do it anyway. Man, when I was putting this thing together, it was really getting me because I realized for myself there's some things that I have put off, okay? And so we're going to talk about it. But I want to start out by telling you a little story. In the 70s and 80s, I'm going to go back just a little bit here, okay? I know I talked about the Braves a minute ago, but the Yankees are the baseball king, okay? They won more World Series than anybody. They are a winning organization. They're always in it, seems like, no matter what. But during the 70s and the 80s, there were some old-time baseball players that were involved in that, and there's a really funny story that I just want to start out with. Billy Martin was a player who played for the Yankees, but the thing is, he only played in about 12 games for the Yankees. He wasn't a really great baseball player. He was in the pros, don't get me wrong. But he only played in like 12, 14 games for the Yankees themselves. But he was hired as the manager of the Yankees during the 1970s and 80s, five times. Five times he was hired and fired. I'm pretty sure he's one of the only managers, and I'll have to check this, I didn't look it up, but I'm pretty sure he's one of the only managers that ever won a World Series and got fired. Because he was a fiery, he was a really old-timey guy. He got in fights all the time, got in fights with his own players. And he got fired before by getting into a fight with a guy who owned the team, okay? But Billy Martin was hired and fired five times during that time span in the 70s, 80s. In 1984, he was fired. And the person that replaced him was a great Yankee, a catcher named Yogi Berra. And Yogi is a piece of work, we'll put it that way, okay? Yogi had managed the Mets before that, but the Yankees hired him and brought him to be the manager of the Yankees. It was his dream job. And Yogi said that the first day that he got there, he went downstairs through the dugout and went to the clubhouse and went to the manager's office, and he got to the desk for the manager of the New York Yankees. And he said he looked at the desk, and on the left-hand side in the corner, there was two envelopes, one marked number one, one marked number two. And there was a note above it that said, "Open only in case of an emergency." He didn't know what that was about. So they went through their spiel and got the season started. Well, the first eight games of the season, the Yankees lost. They were 0-8 to start the season. As you can imagine, the New York press, New York area, they loved their baseball. They loved the Yankees. They were all over him. They were just unmerciful in the papers. The owner of the team, George Steinbrenner, he was all over him too. He was just... Yogi did not know what he was going to do. He went down, he sat at his desk, and he looked over at those envelopes. So he took envelope number one, he opened it up, and it was a note from Billy Martin. and it said, blame it all on me. He said he took the note, threw it in the trash, and he said, I did exactly that. I blamed it all on Billy Martin. It was all the stuff that he put in place before he left. It was all, everything was Billy Martin. He said it worked perfectly. He said the press settled down. The owner settled down. They started winning a few games. Life was good. About 2 months into the season, they went into another losing streak. They lost 9 games in a row. Man. They were all over him again, the press, the fans, the owner. So he went down and sat at his desk one more time. He looked over at envelope number 2, and he opened it, and he pulled it out, and the letter simply said, prepare 2 envelopes. All right. The principle that I want to talk about today is a simple one, but it's one that we fail to do a lot. The principle is, do it anyway. You see, in our life, you already know this, but I'm going to remind you of it. We let people talk us out of things all the time. I'm going to take it a little bit closer to home. We talk ourselves out of things. Stuff that we know we need to do, should do, can do, will do, if we we talk ourselves out of it. When I'm coaching people, when I cover this part right here, I always tell them, we make life so complicated and it's so simple. But we complicate it because we talk ourselves out of it or we let other people talk ourselves out of it. And it's all about decisions. I'm going to read this statement that I'm going to use a lot today. And it simply says this. It was on our website. No matter what we see with our eyes or what our mind is trying to tell us and convince us, there is something bigger than ourselves that we are called to do and to trust in. That's a mouthful. But I'm going to read it several times today and I want you to take it with you. Write it down, okay? All right, there are 3 ways that we have to go about our lives to follow this principle of do it anyway. The first one is this, allow God to lead us. Now, doesn't that sound simple? I mean, we're a group of people here at church on Sunday morning. That would seem like that's what we do, right? But is it? Is it? I think we have good intentions sometimes, but it goes back to the other thing about letting other people talk us out of stuff and we talk ourselves out of stuff. But the first thing to do about following this principle is to allow God to lead us. And that means that we should listen and keep listening and then follow him. My scripture verse that I'm going to start out with this morning, and I've only got 2 of these. This is a long one, but it's Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 11. And here's what it says. When he had finished, this is when Jesus was calling his disciples or choosing his disciples. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought the partners in the other boats out, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish that they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, you can do a lot with that scripture, but what I want to use the scripture for right here is Peter and his partners, they had fished all night and not caught a thing. They had been out working the entire night and didn't catch one fish. And Jesus comes to them and tells them to go back out and do it again. Do it anyway. I know that Peter, even though he was obedient, because see, he's just like you and I. People tell us to do stuff like that. We may start our boat out there, but I will bet you that when he was paddling out, he was thinking to himself, this is a waste of time. They're not here today. This is a bad day to fish. We're not going to catch any fish. But I'm going to obey him and go do it anyway. And he did, and he caught the fish. The important element of this scripture for me and for you and as we go through this is this. He listened and he did what he was told. And when he did, when he got back, he made the decision, I'll follow you. All right? Now, I like telling stories to illustrate. And I found this story on the web. And it's an amazing story to me. Now, you know, I talked to you about the Braves and the Bulldogs and Yankees. You already know I love sports. But this is about a gentleman I'd never heard of before. And it's an amazing story. Does anybody know who Robert Kraft is that lives in Miami? Anybody ever heard of him? He has a nickname. He's called the Raven. What I don't know is how he got that nickname. But he's called Robert Raven Kraft. I want to tell you about him. In 1970, he dropped out of high school and he decided that he was going to make it writing songs. He went to Nashville. That didn't work out. He went to Las Vegas. That didn't work out. So 5 years later, 1975, he came back home to Miami. He was down in the dumps, not knowing what he was going to do with his life because that's what he had dreamed about his whole life, was being a songwriter and making a living at it. Didn't work out. In 1975, though, he said, there's a book actually out there. He said, when I got back to Miami, I realized that there were some things I needed to change in my life. And one of them was this. I'm not healthy. What do I need to do to get healthy? He made the decision that he was going to start jogging, going to start running. He built up his endurance to where he ran 8 miles on the beach. Now, here's the amazing thing about this story for him. And this is where I'm going to get with. Since 1975, he has ran 8 miles a day on South Beach every day. He's not missed a day. 44 years. He's never missed a day. He said he just decided to make the commitment and do it anyway. I want you to let that sink in for a second. 44 years, 8 miles a day. Somebody do the math for me. It's up there. 8 miles a day, 365 days a year for 44 years. He has ran that race with shin splints. He actually had a day where he was having chest pains early in the day. They took him to the hospital, went to the emergency room, went through the whole thing. He got out. He went straight and got his tennis shoes and ran the 8 miles. He stepped on a nail during a run and finished the run. This is the one that's amazing. He has ran during a hurricane. He was committed. See, he learned a principle that he applied in his life that says, do it anyway. Now, he'll tell you in his book, he said, believe me, there are days I don't want to run. There are days that I say to myself, today might be the day I don't run. But he says, every time I have that thought, I think about my commitment that I made and what I've done. Excuse me. Now, if you look him up on the web, if you're so inclined, you can run with him. There's been over 3,000 people who run with him. He meets at the same spot every day and runs the 8 miles in the same direction, same everything. There have been over 3,000 people who run with him from 60 different countries and all 50 states. Some people run with him on a regular basis, but nobody has run it for 44 years. But the Raven. That's amazing. I wrote this down because I was reading about him. He said, the run takes him 2 hours and 15 minutes. He doesn't run fast. 2 hours and 15 minutes every day? This is what he said. when I start out, the first thing that I feel when I run is pain. You've been doing this since 1975. But once I get going, after 3 or 4 miles, the endorphins kick in, and it kills the pain. And he said, and I feel better every time I do it. Now, what I wanted to add to that story is this. See, he thought he was going to be a songwriter, and he is. He's written over 300 songs. He's actually had some published. But what he did was he found out that's not what he's here for. But he thought it was. You see, he did like Peter in the boat. He listened to Jesus that said, go back home and cast your net over here and see what happens. And it clicked with him. So while he is a songwriter, what he is he's an inspiration to a lot of people. I'm going to follow him. He's got a website. He's got all kinds of stuff. Listen, I get to talk to a lot of people in what I do, and I'm amazed sometimes at how many of us, we don't know what our purpose is. We don't know what our purpose is. I have people who come to me and they tell me, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, here's the conclusion that I've come to. I'm not a doctor and I'm not some whatever, you know, a philosophy. But here's what I have come to in my discussion with people and for myself. The reason most of us don't know what our purpose is, because we're looking for our purpose instead of God's. See, when we put that in place, and just like in that scripture, we go to God and we listen, you'll find your purpose. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what your purpose is right now. Whatever you're good at. Whatever it is. Your purpose doesn't have to be what your vocation is or any of those other things. Your purpose is, what are you good at? Am I an encourager? Am I a giver? Whatever you're good at, that's your purpose. Now, I want you to think about your life this morning as we go into this, okay? Because I'm not here to beat you up. You know I'm not here, but I do like to try to provoke you to think about things, okay? Because I just introduced you to a guy who has run 8 miles every day for 44 years. So here's the question for us. What do we quit on? When do we call in sick? Here's the thing. When do we take time off? The raven has never been on an airplane. He never takes a vacation. He never calls in sick. He does it anyway. Even when his eyes and his mind tell him something else. What do we quit on? What I'm going to do this morning is I want to inspire us all. I want us to up our game in serving God. Serve him according to his purpose. Once again, no matter what we see with our eyes or what our mind is telling us and convince us, there is something bigger than ourselves that we're called to do and to trust in. Okay, so the first element is to listen to God. Listen to God and follow him. The second one is this. Stay the course. Stay the course. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and it's the NLT version, says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Question for you this morning is, what are you trying to accomplish in life? What do you want to accomplish in life? And I turned 60 this year, and I guess it's part of it, is as you get older, you start reflecting on that more and more. What have I done? What am I leaving? What? Second question is this, how much are you committed to it? Man, I have a lot of people come to me who have ideas. They have ideas of what they think they might want to do. But when it comes to making the commitment, that's where we talk ourselves out of it, or we let somebody else talk ourselves out of it. You see, a farmer sows seed, And he does it in a properly plowed field. He waits for the rain and the sun to shine in the proper time. Something comes out of the field. Every time. It's not what he planted. It is the thing. But it's more. Everything he plants produces more. Always. Now there's a biblical principle in that. That we need to hang on to. That we plant seeds. All the time in what we do. That we sow those things. This part of this, though, is about staying the course. Now, we have a saying that we use in our, especially in sports, but it's in other things. You ever heard this? Never, ever quit. You ever heard that? A lot of sports teams will tell you that. A lot of coaches will tell you that. And you may hear it from a teacher. You may hear it from everybody. Now, that's good on the surface, but before, and I don't want to confuse you here, but I want you to understand there are times when you need to quit. I'm going to share two of those that you should quit. This is going to sound so simple, but just hear me out. Whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're trying to accomplish, whatever you're trying to do in life, if it's not working and you've given it all you can, quit and switch to something else. It's okay to quit. I have quit things before. I've quit things before. And I'm glad I did. It put me in other places to then do. Because I'm not saying quit and then just go lay down. I'm saying quit a thing, then keep searching and looking and finding. The second reason to quit is this. If you don't like what you're doing. Do you know how many people in this building right here today, more than likely, are doing things with their life that they don't like to do? It's a high number. I can tell you, it's a high number. You get into something and you think that you're in it too deep now and this is what, no. Now, I'm not advocating that you be the kind of person that just keeps jumping from one thing to the other. I'm not saying that at all because it is about staying the course. But if you're in something right now, whatever it is, whether it is your vocation, whatever the case may be, if it's not working and if you don't like it, then you need to switch to be doing something that you do and that you can help yourself find that purpose. So there are some times that you quit. Now, stay in the course is the second one. And here's what I want to talk to you about that particular piece. I'm going to say never quit anything that you're doing because of fear or adversity. Never quit because of that. Let those two things drive you. Because those two things will help you grow. How do you deal with what you have to deal with? Isn't it kind of funny for us today? I want you to stop and think about it now. Think about your week last week. What did you face last week that you said, oh, I'm never going to get through this. This is awful. I don't know how I'm going to make it. How many of you had anything that happened to you last week that when it first came up, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to call somebody because I'm stuck. I'm dying here. I don't know what to do. Isn't it kind of amazing what we identify with as adversity? Because most of it is not. It's really not. We make it into that. I'm going to give you a parallel to think about it, okay? What if you put yourself in place of, and you were Moses standing in front of the Red Sea with the Egyptians coming behind you with spears and arrows and everybody's mad and they're going to kill you? That's adversity, right? What am I going to do? What if you were David, a little shepherd boy, standing in a field in front of a very, very large warrior, and you've got 5 smooth rocks and a slingshot. But yet we say, I can't believe this happened in my life. I don't know if I'll make it to tomorrow. We let stuff get in our way. Listen, the story of David, I've told you this before, I have to mention it. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And the the part of that story that I love the most is this. I can't tell you the scripture, but go read it. But at some point during the scripture, it says that David and Goliath exchanged words. And then the scripture that follows that, it says, David ran to him. Man, I love that. I love that. Because, see, he is committed. They're going to stay the course. They're facing tough things. But they said, I'm in it. And I'm going to stay the course. Because this is what I believe in. We all mentioned it a while ago. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing in front of a furnace? Now, that's adversity, right? We get a flat tire, and we think the world's come to an end. Now, what am I going to do? I got a flat tire. I don't even know if I can make it today. I'm going to call in sick. I got a flat tire. My day's ruined. That's how we do it. How do we face problems? See, successful people are willing to do what unsuccessful people aren't willing to do. Stay the course. Just handle it. Move forward. Things will happen. Just stay the course. Don't let what happens to you get in you and weigh you down. I read this online the other day and I wrote it down. It's really good. Listen to this. Ships don't sink because of the water around them. Ships sink because of the water they allow to get in them. Wow. What do you let get inside of you? See, when you let stuff get inside of you, you don't stay the course. You get weighed down. You start seeing things bad. You start seeing things that is a bigger challenge than they actually are. No matter what we see with our eyes or what our mind is trying to tell us and convince us, there's something bigger than ourselves that we were called to do and to trust in. So we've had listen to God, stay the course. And the last point that I have for this, of sticking to this principle, is manage your expectations. Manage your expectations. Now, I'm going to tell you something that some of you probably know, some of you don't. As a general rule, whatever you expect to happen will. Whatever you expect to happen will. Now, we try to hide it all the time. We'll say that we're going to believe something else. But deep down in our heart, I knew he was going to do that. I knew she was going to do that. I knew that's what was going to happen, but I was holding on to this over here. When you say that, when you think that, I want you to understand, that was your expectation all along. That was your expectation all along. Whatever you expect to happen, generally, is how it's going to come out. So I want you to check yourself to determine for you and your life, stay in the course. By doing it anyway, what is your expectation? I want to ask you a question this morning that I ask my clients sometimes, and it's always a question where you hear crickets, you know, at the end. I wouldn't like to get asked this question either. What are you capable of? What are you capable of? I like to watch people squirm when I ask them that question. Because they try to come up with something, and they reach for stuff. But I try to challenge them, and I want to challenge you this morning because I want you to consider that. What are you capable of? What is it? I can promise you it's more than whatever you think. What are you capable of? What are your expectations? See, human nature is this, and we do this a lot. And this is what separates people with real purpose in life. I want you to think about it. Most of us approach stuff, and we just want to be good enough. Just good enough. Sometimes in my exercise class, we do lift some weights. We've got some dumbbells, other than the trainer. A little joke there. We have some dumbbells in the class, and we do lift some weights. And I'm always kind of amused sometimes at people who ask me, can I go to a heavier weight? And I usually give them an answer, but inside my head, I'm like, you tell me. Because it's all up to you. But I always tell them this. I say, I usually, because I don't want to get in trouble and I don't want to get sued for telling them, you know, no. I tell them, you can always do more than you think you can, whatever it is. Some of them will say, well, I've been using these 15-pound dumbbells for 8 months, okay? Now, there's nothing wrong if you want to keep using the 15-pounders, but if you want more, then just do it. Do it anyway. This is how we are, because it's human nature in us. We just want to be good enough. But what I want to share with you this morning is to call you to go beyond that. To go beyond that. Whatever you do for a living, all right, I'm really going to hit it home right here. In your relationships with your mate or your kids, in your relationship with your friends, in your relationship for people who work for you, always know that there are more and learn to make your expectations where you actually want to go. If you expect more, that's what you'll get. See, what you do matters in ways that we can't see. A few years ago, Kitty and I had the opportunity and we went to Italy. And we spent some time in Venice. And that's an amazing place. But what I want to share with you this morning about what you do in life and wanting to do more is this. So there's a basilica in Venice that's St. Mark's, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, incredible piece of work. They actually, when I was getting my notes here, to give you an idea, they broke ground for this basilica in the year 925. That's when they broke ground. It took them hundreds of years to build it. Here's the amazing part about, I was awestruck when I went in and when I saw this. So there is artwork everywhere you go in Italy, of course. But when you walk in here, in this basilica, all along the walls, everywhere, there's artwork that's in 1-inch mosaic tile. 1 inches. 85,000 square feet that it covers. It took hundreds of years for them to put that together, that you and I can walk in it today and see the finished product. And this is what struck me when I went in there the first time. The person who laid the first tile never saw it. Never saw it. It took hundreds of years. There were people that 100 years into it that laid a tile, didn't see the finished product. 200 years, people still laying tile. What's the point in that? Listen, you and I are laying tile every day of our lives. We make too much out of trophies and accolades and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff is good, but it's not important. It's what we do every day that matters. When I walked into there, that was the first thing that hit me. I thought, because they were telling us how long it took, and I was like, wow, people worked on this. Get this for a second now. I don't know their names. I don't know what they look like. I don't know what they did for fun. I don't know any of that stuff. But what they did was they left something behind for me and for you. Anybody who can go there to see it. The results of their effort, even though they could not see the finished product, stands the test of time. See, there are amazing people in this world that we've never even heard of. I introduced you to that one guy a little while ago. Most of you probably never heard of the Raven. And he's been doing what he's been doing for 44 years. I think that's pretty cool. But I'd never heard of him until just when I started looking for a story to go with this. What this is all about, of following this principle of doing it anyway, is about you and I being inspired to be the best you possible. Now, you're the only one who can decide that. Nobody else. See, that's where it comes into play, where we let people talk us out of, or we talk us out of, because I've done it too. I've done enough. It's time for me to step back here a minute. I'm going to relax. I'm tired of it. I'm tired. We do that all the time. I want us to be our best you. I want to stop doing that. Too often we talk ourselves out of stuff and we quit way too soon. Hey, successful people and unsuccessful people, they look at problems in two different ways. One sees a problem and they see all the reason why they can't. Successful looks at the problem and starts making decisions of how they can. They take that vantage point. What I'm going to ask you to do this morning is to take over your life and everything that you do to be better at whatever it is that you do, and to make a difference in everything that you do. No matter what we see with our eyes or what our mind is trying to tell us and convince us, there's something bigger than ourselves that we are called to do and to trust in. Now, I'm going to close this thing out with this theory that is called the compound effect. You can probably see it in a lot of different ways. A lot of different people use it. But this is the theory of the compound effect is this. It's the little things in life that add up. You see, you are where you are in your life right now because of the little things that you've done every day up until this moment. That's it. It's not anybody else's fault. Nobody else. You made decisions to where you are. I'm going to go back earlier. If you don't like where you are, change it. But you're where you are because of what you have decided to do and how you approach life. Now, the easy thing to do is to blame it on other people. You can blame your parents, your grandparents. You can blame whatever ancestor you want to. You can go on to your friends. You can blame anybody you want to. But none of that floats. None of it floats. And I know Penny does it, others who counsel, and my coaching, I have people sometimes who come to tell me that why they're where they are because of somebody else. And I always tell them, if you keep thinking that way, you're going to stay there. I can't help you. I can't help you. When you can get past that and say, here's where I am, what am I going to do with it? And it's up to me. That's when things start to change. See, that's the piece of do it anyway. We've all been done wrong. My parents weren't perfect. I was. No, I'm just kidding, Brandon. No. Nobody's parents are perfect. Nobody's friends are perfect. But I'm where I am today because of my decisions, of what I did. And there have been many times in my life that I have quit things that I shouldn't have quit. Some that I should, some things I shouldn't have. Because I was not buying into that principle right there, do it anyway. I saw things as being hard, so I said, I don't think I'll do that. I had an opportunity one time at Delta where I had an opportunity at the position that I was in to go up one more level. And all I had to do was say, I'll take it. But I had convinced myself I wasn't prepared for that. I turned it down. I said, I can't do that. I'm not good enough for that. So, but you know what? Like I was saying earlier, we're going to make mistakes. So, I know that today I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I love every minute of it. But you got to get to the point to understanding that this compound effect is with you. With every decision that you make, it all adds up. I like to think about it like those mosaic tiles at St. Mark. Those people that worked on that thing put those tiles one at a time on there, not ever seeing the results. It's so beautiful. When you walk into that place, I mean, you see things sometimes that take your breath. It will take your breath when you see it and you realize what it actually is. Things that you do in your life, it's the same way. See, we have to decide to go back to the points that I made, to listen and believe and to cast our nets when God tells us to. We've got to listen and decide to make the choice to stay the course, to not let fear or adversity stop me. We have to decide all of those things, and it's up to us. One of the saddest things that we can ever say, two lines, are this: I wish I had, or I should have. Those are two sad sentences. I wish I had, or I should have. It's looking backwards, it's looking the wrong way. And I want us to live our life where we don't have very, that doesn't happen very often. Because we take the principle of do it anyway. I want us to be a so what, now what kind of person. When things go wrong, you say that to yourself: so what, now what? Let's move on. I want to close with this. And I'm going to say some statements, and I'm going to say them slow. I want you to listen to them. I want them to resonate inside of you. If they speak to you, I want you to make a commitment this morning that you're going to step up on it, okay? I'm going to go slow because I want you to spend some time thinking about it. Here's the first one. Everything won't happen the way you think it will. Do it anyway. People won't always love you. Love them anyway. Your kids may not be listening to you. Tell them anyway. People will hurt you and take advantage of you. Love them anyway. Your task in life may seem bigger than you. Do it anyway. Your dream may seem too far out there. Chase it anyway. You may believe that you'll never be able to control your finances. Do it anyway. You may think you're too old or too out of shape to exercise. Do it anyway. You may believe no one will listen to you. Tell them anyway. People may not come to hear you sing. Sing anyway. They might not read your book or your blog that you write. Write it anyway. Whatever you want to do, it may be hard. Do it anyway. People might be disappointed if you say no. Say it anyway. People may not appreciate you. Take care of them anyway. People may not always respect you. Respect them anyway. You might be accused of being weird by not going along with the crowd. do it anyway. People may not forgive you. Forgive them anyway. You may think that God doesn't hear your prayers. Pray anyway. You may not see things happening the way you envision them. Keep believing anyway. No matter what we see with our eyes, what our mind is trying to tell us and convince us, there's something bigger than ourselves that we're called to do and to trust. Do it anyway. Will?
Challenge. Let's do it anyway. As our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, Joey mentioned some of those things at the very beginning, some needs that he has and would like to see. Be praying about what God would have you to do, whether it's in action, in deed, in giving, whatever it may be. Because what God has called us to do it anyway. Sometimes it's sacrificially we give. We are working and we'll be sharing with you in the next several weeks a plan of some things that need to be done here at Eagles Way. We're going to be asking a lot of our members of Eagles Way. It's a process. But as we're faithful and we're consistent and we do and we give and we share and we bring our gifts and talents, it makes a huge difference. Huge difference. The band's not coming up this morning, but I'd like for you to stand. We're right in the middle of the summer, finishing up vacations and different things before the dreaded words, time for school to start back. But thank you for your faithfulness of being at the in the house of God, because you bring your gift, you bring your talent, and it encourages others that are there. Doesn't mean you can't miss a Sunday, but don't miss a Sunday if you don't have to. Father, Lord, we thank you that we get to come to your house. Lord, we bring our tithes, our offerings, our alms, our gifts, our talents. Lord, we lay them at your feet. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you give, Lord, leadership, wisdom, and direction in all that they do and how those are used. Pray, Father, Lord, that we continue, Father, Lord, to touch this community in a special way. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Coming up in August, there'll be a Sunday actually having Ron Cook, who is with Rushton Hope. Many of you know and serve monthly at Rushton Hope. It's one of the ministries here in our community that we are a part of. And help out with and give funds and food and all kind of stuff too. He will be sharing, giving us an update. We'll be having an update from the soup kitchen. Many of you don't know that we support that. So that's coming up in August. I think it's the third Sunday in August. So opportunities for you to be able to get involved. We're going to be sharing what we need from you in that. And we make that on those commitments on an annual basis. And so annually, we have to have volunteers and people giving and doing. So that morning, you'll have an opportunity to sign up. Now, that doesn't mean that's a morning that you skip service. Okay? You need to be here. It'd be good stuff. So God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Go and give to someone what you've been given today.